Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at BollAndBranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello, hello, everybody. It is Tuesday, so that means one thing. It's the new episode of Glamour. Hey, It's Okay, our fabulous weekly podcast. We've got lots of incredibly important issues to talk about today, which is actually a lie, but we're still going to have fun. Yes, here we are once again in the Glamour pod cupboard. We don't even say podcast cupboard anymore. We've shortened it in that trendy way. Today, I am joined by my fabulous deputy editor at Glamour magazine, Lindsay Frankel.
Hello.
And we also have one of my favourite people in the whole world, no pressure. She is a fabulous author, broadcaster, television presenter, designer, vintage curating goddess of wonderful joys.
Gosh, she's so lazy.
I know. And the more I talk, the more I think, actually, I hate her. I can't bear it. Oh. I can't actually bear the jealousy. But, you know, she's here now. It's Dawn O'Porter.
Hi.
Oh, do you know what I forgot to say?
What?
Glamour columnist. Yes. Extraordinaire. Well, how could I forget that?
That's my number one gig,
I was going to say, that's like your first job.
I mean, and how long have you had that job now? I can't remember.
A couple of years.
Yeah.
It's a good couple of years.
Yeah.
And I have to say, all jokes aside and ribbing of Dawn, of course I didn't forget that because it's one of the most popular things.
Shut your
issue.
Face.
No, it is.
No, it's
it
true.
Is.
Everyone loves it. Seriously.
Well, I love it.
Oh, good.
I love my glamour column. I love my glamour column because I can talk about whatever I want, and you very rarely say you can't talk about that. I think that's probably only happened once.
What did I?
Oh, I don't know, but it was one of those ones that I was just banging on about something.
It was when you said the week. C word and
probably
said you hated all people from Ireland. Or
probably.
Something like
I
that.
Really do, though. I really hate them. They are just a bad, bad breed.
Mm.
Yeah, not into that. No, but I get to talk about like everything from immigration to fanny farts. It's perfect.
Yeah, and sometimes the two
that's
in one,
life.
You know, I mean. You know, there probably are some immigrants who have done a fanny fart, so you could, I don't know.
It's a global phenomenon, is the fanny fart.
Yeah, that's true. We like to mask
it,
over no, that.
It knows no yeah. boundaries.
It doesn't. And it also doesn't let you know when it's going to happen. Anyway, what do you want to talk
and
about?
And I just want to thank you for bringing this to the usual highbrow standard that I'm used to from you, Mrs. O'Porter.
Very, very welcome. I'm not just obnoxious in print.
No. But, and what else are you up to? You're in London visiting us fleetingly.
I am in London doing Bob stuff.
Mm. Now explain Bob.
Bob is my clothing line. I've just yesterday photographed about 200 pieces of vintage clothing, which we're launching online in a few weeks. And I just finished a novel. So I've been having meetings with my editor and I'm just basically swanning around the place in 70s chiffon, really.
Amazing.
Apart from today when I look particularly boring because I had my baby this morning.
Yeah, but you've got a...
What, that makes it sound like you had a baby this
morning. No, well, I did. I just knocked out a baby this morning.
It's
is
really
that weird?
Impressive.
That's because why your eye shirt... makeup looks really flawless.
I know, it was waterproof, so it was fine.
And you're wearing a Bella Freud jumper that says, bada boom. And bada-boom. That feels like a punchline now too. I had a baby.
I had a bada-boom. Bada-boom. I was the main carer of my 1.5-year-old this morning. I took him to the park and, you know, we were playing with him, so I didn't wear anything too flamboyant. But yeah, I love Bella Floyd. Bella Floyd.
She's amazing.
Bella Floyd. Bella Freud.
Yeah.
I got Chris the art Art jumper for his birthday because our baby's called Art.
I kind of want the t-shirt of
it's
that.
It's really good.
Because I'm weirdly obsessed with your baby.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah. And then I got the Bada Boom one because I don't know if this is what Bella meant by it, but my cat is called Lilu after Mia Jokovic from The Fifth Element. And in that film, she says, Bada Boom, big Bada Boom. So there you go. Now you didn't ask the question, but I told you the answer.
What else?
No, I'm out.
With your vintage, because I follow you on Instagram. I follow you on Twitter. I watch you when you sleep.
Actually,
all of
also
those things.
Follow me.
Yeah. I follow you an enormous amount. But with your, and I was sort of watching your vintage shoot unfold yesterday. To me, it's like your children, those clothes. Do you actually ever want to sell them?
No. I find it really hard. And the key to business is to sell things. And
that's true. But, I'm glad you know that much.
Yeah. Well, it's taken me about 2.5 years to work that out.
Yeah.
But I do. I want to keep them. But the great thing about vintage is that I can wear it and then sell it. Because the whole point is that they're
genius.
Pre-worn. So
yeah.
A lot of the clothes I'll keep for, if I really love them, I'll keep for a couple of months and then sell them. And that seems to work quite well. And that's allowed.
You can also add an as worn by on the tag.
And then everyone's like,
the price.
No.
Or a warning. Yeah. Slightly soiled
yes.
by Mrs. O. Porter.
I will yeah. just beware.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the great thing about it. I've been designing new clothes for a long time, but I'm rebuilding the vintage side of the business again, because that's the bit that I really love. The sourcing and that feeling of selling it to someone who's found something really special.
I just look like a weird granny if I try and wear vintage. I need you to take me vintage shopping.
With pleasure.
Yeah, you always say that. You never do, though.
Your husband would never speak to me again.
Well, you know.
I Your mean, Instagram he, would go
he
crazy.
Doesn't, he doesn't really like you very much anyway.
Oh,
so it's
I love him, though. So small.
That's, no, I'm kidding. He absolutely adores you.
You should start a new hashtag, friends my husband hates.
Oh, God. Yeah. To which he would say, I didn't even know you had any friends. So, yeah. Yeah. So that's the kind of lovely, loving relationship we have. But
non-stop affection in that house.
Yeah, but I find vintage really hard. I just don't have the patience.
It does. It does take some patience. But it also, I was talking to Gizzy about this the other day, it takes, the more you vintage shop, the quicker you get. Like, you literally just scan a rail and you'll know if there's anything on it that you're interested in. But yeah, first few times it's a bit slow.
Mm.
But then you go home with one thing that no one else has got and it's so awesome.
Yeah, but then I'm always worried. How do you tell the difference between... I see things and I think, if Dawn was wearing that would look fabulous. I feel like I'm wearing a costume sometimes.
Hashtag just bloody wear it,
Jo. Oh, man.
This is the hashtag that I created because too many people say, I mean, you know this, you're kind of bonkers and into fashion and you all wear like weird and wonderful things. It's just this, there's just not a size 8, 10, 12, 14 of the stuff that I wear. You just got to search for that one piece. But I do try and like, I like the way that vintage takes me out of comfort zones every now and then. And I do like the idea of making a statement that isn't very obvious.
Do you need to find your era? So if you're a certain shape or size, are you better off looking at 50s or 60s do you have to kind of put a bit of research into it before you just go shopping?
Well, that definitely works. Like, no matter whether you're into vintage or not, you know what suits your shape. And there's definitely like that 50s silhouette suits people with bigger hips, and there's stuff like that you can do. But I mean, I think finding your era is a good way to get into it, but I don't think you should ever lock yourself into any one look. So I think I'm quite known for being 60s, but I actually probably wear more 50s and 70s. And I think the great thing about vintage is I can also put on an 80s power suit and no one bats an eyelid because my look is now just vintage. I like the fact that I can dress for my mood. And I think if you shop eclectically, then you can wake up and always have something to wear.
And what does Chris think of your wardrobe?
He loves it.
Does he?
Yeah.
You sound really defensive when you say that.
He loves it. Of course he does. No, he does love it. And I know that, like, if we're going out on a date, if I walk in the room with something crazy that I'm going to wear, he will then step up what he's wearing, because he's quite a vibrant dresser as well. Like, he loves floral prints and big Hawaiian shirts and crazy shoes and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, together we just look like a big pile of sick.
You have to make sure you don't clash before you go.
Well, we quite like the matchy-matchy thing. So we quite like, if I've got a dress where the predominant colour is pink, he'll kind of put pink into his tie. Or,
that dresses together.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping you were going to say, like, I always love those pictures of David Beckham and Victoria Beckham wearing all leather, or Justin and Brittany in their all denim. Do that.
Well, you haven't seen us at home, Jo. It's not far off.
That's vintage now.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
And tell me about, how's the book going? You've said you've finished it.
I mean, How are you feeling? Because you are my modern pen pal, email pal buddy, you know that I went through absolute hell writing this last novel. I tried
and the one before that, and the one before that.
Because that's just typical writer's life,
I'm so familiar with Dawn O'Porter's writing process. I'm like, oh, here we go. Here's the depths of despair, email angst. This goes on for about 11 days. Yeah. And then we get into euphoria when she's cracked it.
It's like, I just wrote such an amazing paragraph.
And I'm always trying to remind her that euphoria is not there for, no, not this time. No. No, I mean, I'm just going to just go and fake my death and just, you know.
On this last book, I really genuinely didn't think that there would ever be anything euphoric about the entire process. I started it just after I had Art. I'd launched Bob 3 months before I had my baby. I put way too much on my plate for that whole year, whilst always, you know, writing a book to have this creative free mind where you can just sit down and walk around or whatever and come up with ideas. There was no time to come up with ideas, so I sit down at my computer and that blank page would just be like staring at me. And anyway, eventually, because, you know, I'd got paid before I wrote it, I had to finish the book. So there was about 2 months where I got an office out of the house and I just sorted childcare out and I was like, right, I'm getting in. And I just got obsessed with it for 2 months and finished it. And now I think it's brilliant.
That's really exciting, though.
Yeah.
You should think it's brilliant. I don't know how anybody writes a book.
I know, it's so daunting.
I mean, poor Lindsay, she gets to see, you know, the angst and torture if I've got to write 300 words for an editor's letter. I mean, that is like days of sold. And I mean, it's always the last page in the magazine to go.
It is, but it's always carefully crafted and a lot of thought goes into it.
Yeah.
Loads of thought goes into it.
Yeah, but I like this concept of being paid for things before you actually do them.
I know.
I've been paid to write another 3 books, which makes me feel sick.
Surely there's a loophole there, you know?
Like, no. Well, having babies was a loophole, but that didn't work.
I'm going back to this faking your death thing. You could do like that canoe man thing.
Yes.
Oh, that didn't end well though, did it?
It didn't, but I think Dawn's cleverer than him. I think it might work. What?
Yeah. I need to just fake my own death. You're right.
That's and the then only write way a book that, about it.
And then write a book about it when I come back miraculously. What? What happened?
See, you know, I'm always giving ideas to other people.
It was all a dream.
Jo, I'll credit you in my thank yous for that.
We can do prison together.
Yes.
We're going to talk about something very serious now. This is something that I'm almost, you know, afraid to admit occupies a lot of time in the Glamour Office, Dawn. This is the kind of serious shit that we really get down to. Yeah.
I don't know if I'm in the mood to talk about politics, guys.
Yeah, wow. News.
You get in the mood because this is important.
Okay.
We are consumed with this idea. Is it okay to have a sort of like weirdly obsessive order of service of doing things in the shower?
I understand the urgency.
I'm not laughing. I don't understand why she's laughing, Lindsay.
I understand.
Yeah. I mean, I can't understand all this talk of Hillary and Donald when there's this to be discussed.
This is much
frankly.
More interesting.
Absolutely.
No, you're right. Let's get in there.
It's a much more...
When you say order of service...
Well, maybe it's just me. Oh, it's just... I was in the shower recently. I mean, every day, but recently I had this... I literally wash every single thing in exactly the same order every single time. And I wondered if that was like a mental problem. But yeah.
So talk us through it. Go on. We've got time.
Well, all right. So here I am. I'm naked. I'm in the shower.
I'm really worried about what's going to happen next. But
I wash my hair every day. Hair under, wash, bit of conditioner. I don't know how long that is. Left arm, left underarm, right arm, right underarm, torso, boobs. Thighs.
Under the boobs takes a while,
legs,
doesn't it?
Not for me, dear. We've already had that discussion earlier today. It's almost like, you know, bit of a sort of a, it's, you know, at the moment it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. There's a bit of, you know, a bit of time to check all that situation out. That's fine. I don't enjoy it, I promise. And then feet, boom, out.
How do you wash your feet?
I get some soap. I lather it up with my hand and then sort of like, scrub it like I'm wiping my feet on the mat on the floor of the shower.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Yeah.
I just...
Oh, pumice stone. I forgot pumice stone.
Oh, that's old school.
Yeah, I have to do that.
Every day?
Every day on your feet?
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
Look at my baby heels there, girl. That's little and often.
They're good heels.
Yeah.
I think it is. I don't think I've seen a pumice stone in a shower since the 80s.
Well, you've been to my shower. Actually, let's not talk about that. But it's,
I just went quiet. I was like, I'm not telling that story, Jo. It's up to you. I'm going to save that one for my podcast.
Okay. Yeah. No, but yeah. Well, so is that really weird? Because I'm the same with getting dressed as well.
Do you know what? I don't think I'd ever actually acknowledged it until you started telling that story. But I think certainly on work mornings, I do everything in the same order. And it's just a case of needing to be out of bed, clean and presentable in the shortest space of time possible.
Yeah.
And the best way to do that is just to know what you're doing with also being half asleep. Yeah. Basically. But I'd never really thought about it in great detail.
No, I don't know why it struck me recently. I think it might have been, I don't know, because the shampoo was missing and I found myself strangely annoyed.
Shock, horror.
That, yeah, I just found myself really irritated that I wasn't doing that for.
But also, Dawn, you've got a lot on your plate, as we have just ascertained. You've got a lot of things going on. So presumably you need routine in your life, whether
it
be
no
in the shower.
Routine.
Oh, really?
I panic at the thought of routine. I just can't do it. So in the shower, I actually have no idea what I do. But I would test new products. Like I just bought this kind of rubbery mitt thing that exfoliates your face.
Ooh,
so I've been experimenting with that recently, which has been thrilling. It is good. I have a terrible blocked pore problem, but I don't like using abrasive scrubs on my face all the time. So this is like a gentle, natural. Ooh. I'm veering off. But yeah, wonderful. And I think I backbrush my hair to different levels of intensity on different days, so the shampooing process can be different sometimes. I shave my legs probably once a month. I don't think I do have any routine. Every day, the only thing that I do kind of religiously every morning is the first thing I do when I wake up is check my email, because I live on an 8-hour time difference, and so my inbox is absolutely full. And then I go and make a coffee, and then I do whatever Art wants to do.
Oh my God, I can't face the email inbox without the cup of tea in my hand first.
Yeah, that's quite,
it's the first
that's
thing
dedicated.
I do, I reach for my phone, and I have to start, because all my staff are like, tell me this, what's the answer to this? So I have to like get to them quite quickly. They're all kind of waiting for like 3:30 when I might wake up, which is what it is here.
Have you got anything that you're ritually habitual about?
Have I got... Plucking my eyebrows is my thing. Like if I was on a desert island, the only thing, no, two things, lip balm and plucking my eyebrows, and tweezers for plucking my eyebrows. It's the thing, I'm not one of those trendy eyebrow people. I'm just looking at both your eyebrows. You've got lovely natural
don't
ones.
Look closely.
No,
mine.
You're both very natural. I can't stand that eyebrow craze of big square slugs. It's so horrible.
The sort of like the Cara Delevingne inspired.
So just can't bear it. But I am obsessed with my eyebrows. Like I do pluck them every day, and I put just a little bit of brown eyeshadow on them. So that's my thing. Every morning I pluck my eyebrows.
Okay. So we all have our version of the order of service.
Yeah.
It's just that yours is very specific.
I know. I'm really feeling weird now.
When
Lindsay said, "Yeah, let's talk about this," I thought I was like, you know, I had a sister in arms here, but no, she just wanted to laugh at me.
No. I don't want to laugh at you. I am a great fan of, and actually, I do it. I just never put a name to it before or even noticed it. But I am a great fan of doing things in the way I've always done them, which I guess makes me sound like quite a boring person. But in that sort of, you know it can be done without you thinking about it. I love that thing. You know, it's like I do that. That's my tube journey to work, is just doing it without thinking about it.
Yeah.
So I think it's a version of that.
So in this instance, are you saying, hey, I'm okay?
Hey, you are okay.
Oh, you're okay. But can I just so I have a full visual, I want to know, when you like wash under each arm and you're doing that, what's in your hand? Have you got like a sponge
no,
with
it's my
shower gel?
Raw hand, baby.
With a shower gel or a soap?
Oh, shower gel. Lather it up.
Okay, now I know.
Yeah.
Now I know.
Okay. Anything else?
How often do you shave your legs?
Oh, gosh. They're not very hairy.
No, not me.
Oh,
so
lucky you.
Maybe a couple of times a month.
Okay.
Sorry, Ross.
yeah, exactly. I'm done now. I've done all my questions about your ablutions. Thank you very much.
All right. I'll let you know if anything changes.
Do.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify.
Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Right, now we've sorted that out. What other deep and meaningful topics do you want to talk about, Lynns?
Well, we could talk about trivial things.
Yeah, go on.
As we've discussed about getting, it's okay to get really annoyed about trivial things. And actually, this goes back to me liking to do my tube journey in a very uniform, orderly way that I do it every morning so I don't have to think about it. If somebody just stands in the wrong place at the tube platform, this is going to make me sound like a loon, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I can get welled up into this enormous fury about it. I mean, I probably need to seek some sort of help for this, but little trivial things like people walking really slowly along the pavement, I can get myself so wound up.
And reading their phone at the
same
time.
That's
my pet thing.
But lots of trivial things really annoy me. And I do think it's okay, because sometimes I think it's where I let off little bursts of sheer fury that I just need to get rid of through the day.
Yes.
So hang on, are you saying that when someone stands in your spot on the platform, you have a go at them?
No, I don't actually have a go at them. I just seethe inwardly.
You just feel the fury.
Oh, I feel the fury.
You just and push them onto the track.
No, I don't really. I get really, really furious about it momentarily, and it makes me forget about the serious thing that I was probably worrying about. And also it's gone very quickly because I've usually forgotten about it by the time I get on the tube. So I can just get really momentarily annoyed by something and then move on.
I think it's just little canisters of stress that get released throughout the day. What's more annoying than getting annoyed about trivial things are the kind of people who walk around with this kind of grin on their face, say, don't stress about the small stuff. Calm down. Nice. Smile through it. I'm like, can I swear? Fuck off. That, like, just when you know when you're walking down the street and someone's like, smile, all this kind of stuff. Like, it's really natural and really important to get stressed about little things.
Yeah.
And just like release tension throughout the day that way. Because I don't believe it when people say that life doesn't stress them out.
And
not in London anyway. God, if you don't get stressed in London, then you've got to be on
something. You're not human if you don't get stressed in London.
But also, I'm sure that you will be able to relate to this. It's like if you maybe, you know, try and make a, sometimes to diffuse the tension of those moments, I might make a joke on Twitter about something, and then I always get somebody telling me I'm moaning about first world problems.
Oh, that first world problem is the worst. <hashtag. laughs>
That's the most annoying thing out of all of them.
God.
That's enough to send me into a molten rage.
I got one where I got loads of first world problems when we first moved into this. This whole, like, first two sentences of what I'm going to say is going to make me sound like a complete dick, so I'm not even going to apologise at this point. When I first moved into our house in LA, there was a gardener who was drunk all the time and did a really bad job. Now, I have a garden. It's a house. That doesn't make me an idiot. But I said on Twitter, I just had to sack the gardener because he's always drunk or something like that. Now, honestly, the grief that I got for, firstly, the fact that I own a house that has a garden was unbearable to so many people. Secondly, the fact that I was going to take away this person's job. Now, I love to employ people and I'm very fair and all this, but I was annoyed with this guy because he didn't turn up. When he did turn up, he was hammered and he was just absolutely useless and the garden looked like a jungle. So I'd said this and I got so much grief for being annoyed about it, for doing this. And I was like, oh, I think I learned my lesson there. And then I did it again another time where I complained because Ocado didn't deliver three important ingredients for my dinner party.
Oops.
Oh my God, like if it had been a Tesco delivery, no one would have cared. But I was like, bloody hell, Ocado, you missed off my Tabasco and my paprika. Like, I can't do my dinner party. And everyone went like, well, not everyone, but so many people just went absolutely ballistic at me. And I was like, okay, I did sound like really pretentious, but it was really annoying.
But the irony is that those people were getting annoyed about something trivial.
Exactly.
Yes, you offered them the gift of momentary fury for them to let go and take it out on you.
I really resent that idea that if you are having a pop about something like that or you're annoyed about, I mean, my thing is loud eaters.
Oh.
I got a car from, oh my God, I had a driver from the airport in Milan when we went to the show. So God, I'm an asshole. But, he chewed gum like this the whole way.
No.
For 40 minutes.
No.
And I think that just because that annoys me, it doesn't mean I don't care about real problems.
Yes.
Or that I'm ranking that problem over something much bigger. You're allowed to have those little venting.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Moments.
And also, if something like that is annoying you, it's really hard to get it out of your head because you're in a car with this person and they're making a really annoying noise.
I read somewhere that being annoyed by loud chewing is a brain disorder of mine. But
what?
Yeah.
So you actually, when you realised that you were so, you Googled it.
No. Just something popped up on Facebook and I was like, oh my God, that's me. But, you know, it's, yeah. It's, I can't help it.
No, it's really annoying. It's okay to be annoyed with people and it's okay to have little rages and it's okay to find the small stuff really irritating. We were just saying downstairs, like if you've planned for ages, you're going to a party and you've planned your lipstick with your dress for ages and then you get to that party and you realise you've forgotten your lipstick. It's okay to find that really annoying.
Absolutely.
And to be gutted that your outfit wasn't the right thing. And some people will interpret that as vanity and it is, and being vain's okay, but it's okay to be pissed off about it.
Mm.
Maybe just don't talk about it all night.
Yeah.
Just try. Are you speaking from personal experience here?
But just try and talk about something else.
So just saying that everybody doesn't think we're sort of like trivial little princesses. What's the line? What's not okay in terms of fits and fury? I don't know. I guess you just have to eat that rage and accept that you're raging about something stupid and not actually take it out on somebody, I guess.
And I think that, I do think that actually when you said, do I actually tell someone off for standing in my spot? I don't, because I do recognise that it's my own personal strange way of dealing with being on the tube. And it would be unfair of me to swear at a complete stranger in the middle of the rush hour traffic, would it? Yeah, it would,
yes,
wouldn't it?
Would.
Yeah.
That would,
and the fact that I recognise that, I think, you know, is holding me on to being a normal person. But
just about.
Yeah.
We're all okay. If we all stick together.
I think we're okay if we all stick together. Just hold hands at all times and walk around together.
And I see a lot of people out there thinking they should avoid the three of us now, I think.
Yeah. That's fine.
But I think that's the point, isn't it? A lot of people, pretty much everybody, is walking around with little rages going on in their head. Now it's whether you can control those rages and not put them out there to the world. But it's okay to feel them. If you're walking around going, fuck everyone, I forgot my lipstick, then you're probably being a bit of a dick.
Right. Okay. Thanks for that, Dawn.
I've nailed
Thanks
it.
Thanks for the clarity.
Now you have the answer.
Yeah. Leading on for that world-changing discussion about fits of fury and trivial, getting annoyed about trivial things, I want to talk about, Dawn, do you think it's okay to get really upset over little things, like, say, crying over a bad haircut?
That's not a little thing, though, is it? That's your image that someone's messed up for you. And it's, I think it's okay to be self-aware and care about what you look like, and that doesn't have to be a big, oh, I'm so vain and I, you know, it's all I think about. But if you go and have a haircut and you're excited about it and you spent money on it and someone has messed up your hair that you then have to grow out or do something wild with because, you know, it doesn't work, that is a perfectly reasonable thing to get upset about.
But have you ever, I mean, I've been upset about many haircuts in my time and I've just smiled and said I loved it and walked
Always.
Out because
oh,
it's like,
every time
it's cut now, they can't glue it back on. So I don't know how, I do know people who've made a big scene in the hairdressers and sounds awful. But
I know most people say that they don't, and I very rarely do. I had one experience, and this is the one time I actually cried over the haircut as well, because it was sort of like, I don't know. I don't think he was aiming for like a mullet, but meets a sort of, I don't know, it's like a bob and a mullet. It was just awful. And it was, I don't think it was what I asked for. And then, so when he showed me the back, I was like, oh. And I am always the polite, oh, I absolutely love it. And then, you know, run around the corner and like fiddle about with it with my hands. But I said, oh, it's not, you know, it's not quite, you know, what, I look a bit stupid. And he got quite stroppy with me, made a very nominal attempt to try and fix it, and then went, okay, so if you still really hate it in like 2 weeks' time, you can come back.
Oh my God.
And that's when I went round the corner and cried.
Yeah.
Because it was the one time in my life that I think I'd stuck up for myself in that situation, and it backfired so horribly, and I looked stupid to him and in real life with my hair because my hair looked awful.
I mean, I'm in love with my hairdresser now. He's just, I do. Mm-hmm. I adore, hi, George. I adore him. But,
Ross knows about this.
Right? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But, I've had some awful experiences at the hairdressers, yeah. Specifically. Like this guy who once said to me over and over again during a haircut, well, I mean, because I did have quite short hair, it's like, I mean, I'll do what I can, but you know, your hair's so short for a woman.
Oh,
I mean, for a woman,
that's
I just,
so
I don't know what, you know, I'll do what I can sort of a thing.
No, yeah. If you're a good hairdresser.
Have you ever had anything like that?
Well, I can't really remember, but my hairdresser is actually a guy called Tim Pateman, who did my hair for a glamour shoot once. And I liked him so much on the shoot that he is now my hairdresser.
Oh, and glamour brings people together.
I know.
It does. It does. And it's great. So I have him in this. It sounds quite dickheadish, but I have him in LA and then I have someone else in LA. But it's always
you're
someone.
So fancy.
I am so fancy, but it's actually, they usually do it in my spare room and it's brilliant. So there's very little can go wrong now because I have the same haircut. You know, and the two people do it, and so it's always the same. If I ever go to a salon, then it's, I usually hate it because it's not what I want. But for such a high maintenance haircut, I get it done very rarely, and also I hate when I've just had it done. First thing I do when I've had my haircut is go home and have a shower, and I do it myself.
Mm. It's me too. Sorry, George.
Yeah, but yeah. I just can't bear that just stepped out of a salon look when it's really pulled and all straight and quite fine. I need to fill it with like product and build it up to be as big a booth as I can possibly make it.
Mm. It's a trademark, isn't it?
It is a bit. I mean, I'm not representing my anything.
Your brand.
Yeah, I'm like in skinny jeans and a new jumper and my hair's up. But I promise I'm not a fake.
I cried. First cried. The first time I cried over a haircut was when I was 6.
Ooh,
my mother had it all cropped. Like, honest to God, looked like 11 in Stranger Things. And I just stood in front of a mirror and cried and cried. And it was my first sort of like moment of rage against my mother that I remember.
Was that a hairdresser who did that or your mum did it?
I think my mum was into it. My mum thought it was like really modern, you know, all this sort of thing. But I, you know, a little girl, I had no hair all of a sudden.
But has it been short ever since?
Oh, no. Oh, my God. No,
yeah, it never grew
when
back.
When I was... when I was sort of like 18 and 19, I had, you remember Charlene in Neighbours when she was a mechanic?
Yes.
Oh, loved that look.
I had hair like that.
Oh, that's the dream.
So jealous.
Long and but permed.
Oh, perfect.
I mean, I've had some clangers.
You'd have been my idol if I'd known you then.
Well, yeah. I thought I was now, but but no. And yeah. And
your boss
then
isn't
I,
your idol.
But then I got my first magazine job and they begged me to not have that haircut.
Can we do, hey, it's okay to ask your staff to change their hair.
Hey, it's not okay to have a big frizzy perm.
Yeah. They were right.
They were probably right. But I remember really wanting that haircut as well, just because she was so little and bouncy and cool.
Oh,
just like in her overalls.
Yeah. She looked great in dungarees, didn't she? Yeah. Like her overalls. It's like, how can she make those look cool?
Oh, Kai.
Little did I know.
But I mean, I always think of you, what have I known you, 4 or 5 years? You're... black strong 60s bob is such a trademark, but then I look at photos of you on Facebook and you it's actually not that long ago that you had like a short reddish
yes
thing.
Well I all my work dried up and I was very insecure and had an identity crisis, so I tried to fix the problem by cutting off all my hair and dyeing it red, and it actually didn't work. It was quite fun because also part of the crisis was that I lost about a stone. So I was really skinny. And when you're really skinny and you've got really short hair, it looks great. Like if I did that now, I would just be all chin. But it was quite fun. I went really, really bright red. And then I kind of one day just thought, I'm just not, this isn't who I am. And so now I have exactly the same haircut that I had when I was 7.
So if you turn up one day with cropped red hair, that's when I should worry.
Well, actually, yes, definitely. But what I think, I'm always going to have the bob, but I might mess around with some colour. I do love that peroxide grey.
Oh yeah.
And I think if I start going grey soon, then I will do that. Mm. So I might that, but the style will never change. It's who I am, innit?
Mm. Well, that's why people get upset when it all goes wrong.
Yes.
Because your hairstyle for a lot of people is your identity. And, you know, if somebody doesn't get that, it's you know,
it's annoying.
It's horrible.
Yeah, it's annoying.
And it is such, for a lot of people, it is a security blanket, isn't it? I mean, I don't know her at all, but there must be a reason that Anna Wintour always has. It's quite similar to yours.
Well, she's always copying me, that's why. If she would just get off my case. She also follows everything I do. She's like, Dawn, you're so cool, so trendy. I just want to be more like you. Then she suddenly turns up with a bob again.
Like, mobile phones, all her outfits to Dawn before she goes to
I'm
the
like,
shows.
Anna, pull yourself together. Yeah. This is just embarrassing. Yeah. Actually, she was sitting in front of us at the Tony Awards a couple of years ago and she had sunglasses on, you know, as though it was stunning. And I was annoyingly starstruck because I've just simply because I think she's quite
scary.
She's
big news.
She's big news.
The mother of fashion.
Yeah. But also the mother of pretty much everything that I have no interest in as well. So I was like, but I still just thought, I want Anna to notice me, and oh, I wonder if she'll notice my hair. And of course she just stormed past me with her sunglasses on. Fair enough. You know.
Well, but, you know.
Yeah.
Look, it's this editor's got you back.
Yes.
Yes. Don't go flirting with those American Vogue editors.
I won't. No. I won't go anywhere near here. If she would just stay away from me for 5 minutes, give me some peace.
She's glamours for life, this one.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. But you're not going anywhere.
Thank you for coming to our cupboard.
Of course. It was nice to see you in a real capacity as opposed to, you know, on the page. That was an awkward sentence, wasn't it?
Yeah. I don't really. I think there's a compliment in there. It was nice.
I'm pretty sure. Nice to see you guys.
Nice to see you too. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to Glamour's Hey It's OK podcast. And we'd love you to visit iTunes and subscribe. Leave a review if you like, especially if it's a nice one, if you like what you hear. And we want to hear from you guys. If you've got some ideas about any topics you want us to discuss and debate very, very seriously about whether or not they're OK, tweet us at GlamourMagUK using the hashtag Hey It's OK. If you just can't get enough of us and you want to see some behind-the-scenes pictures of this glamorous pod cupboard, then you need to get onto Instagram and search the hashtag GlamourHeyIt'sOkay. Finally, I just want to say thanks very much to our friends at Wired Magazine. The Glamour Pod Cupboard is actually their pod cupboard. We love you guys. Thank you.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.